Well, good morning. It's good to see each one of you with us today. Appreciate the guests that have stayed for our 11 o'clock hour. And Sister Lily, it's great seeing you up here on the front seat again. We have missed you, and we're just glad that you're able to be with us today, as well as each one that is with us in our assembly. Some time ago, I came across a story by Lawrence Ravenhill, and he tells about a group of tourists that were visiting a very picturesque little village on a European vacation. And as they walked around this quaint little town, one of the tourists saw an older gentleman sitting on a park bench. And he went up to him in a rather patronizing kind of way, looked at him, he said, hey old man, let me ask you something. Were there ever any great men born in this village? The old man paused for just a moment and he looked up to the tourist and very calmly said, no, sir, only babies. A condescending question produced a very profound response. And it reminds us that great men and women are not born. They are made. They learn and they acquire skills. They mature and they develop. And as I thought about that story, and I thought about individuals, isn't the same thing true also for churches? Great churches don't just happen. They're not just birthed. A strong church doesn't just automatically appear out of nowhere. Neither does a warm fellowship or an inspiring worship service or a successful outreach or meaningful ministry. But it takes time and work and effort and energy and focus. This morning, I'd like to talk about us living beyond ourselves. And I have subtitled this sermon, How to Multiply Ministry and Grow the Church. And I have three simple points that I'd like for us to think about this morning that I believe will help us get outside ourselves, will help us look beyond ourselves and live beyond ourselves, and to help us as we work here together in our church family of Hickman Mills, not only to multiply our ministry as we seek to grow and develop ministry, but also really to be able to spiritually grow and mature the family of God at this place. 3 points and the lesson will be yours. Number one, we need to be totally committed to Christ. The last song that Ryan led us in speaks to that issue. And how that all of us, I'm sure, it's been all of self and none of thee. And the songwriters, he pictures the development here of a person's attitude. Then finally they reach a point that it's none of self and all of thee. This song has commitment written all over it. And it really speaks to the growth and development maturity of an individual that seeks to be totally committed to Christ. There's a great story that comes out of ancient Rome that Pliny the Elder writes about. He lived about the same time as Jesus did, actually. And he writes about a setting in which an obelisk is being built and being hoisted up. And this obelisk would tower up about 90 some feet in height. And the Roman Emperor commissioned 20,000 workers not only to build this, but to be able to use the ropes on a pulley to elevate this through a hoisting apparatus. It was a great responsibility. It was a very difficult and potentially riskful operation. Just one error could cause this great monument to fall and ruin years and years of work. And so the emperor simply demanded one act which brought about the complete and total commitment and attention of the engineer over this job. He ordered that the engineer's own son be strapped to the apex of this monument. And so therefore the heart of the engineer was committed to his task that they'd be successful in raising it. That's commitment. Jesus talked many times, although the word is not specifically used in the Bible, of the issue of committed. Pete read from Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. That you're going to make a choice. Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve mammon, money, materialism, the things of the world? You must be committed to one or the other. Or Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, that you can't love father or mother more than me. What? You have to be totally committed, Jesus is saying. To me, I have to be number one. Or he said in Mark 8 and verse 35, to save your life, you must lose it. In other words, you must live beyond yourself. You must develop a commitment that is complete and that is total in your service to me. I want to suggest four ways or four areas in which we can grow and develop and demonstrate our total commitment to the Lord. One is in the Word of Christ. Are we committed to the Word of Christ? We're familiar with that passage in John 8 and verse 32 where Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But if you back up one verse to verse 31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Are we committed to abiding or remaining in the word? Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejects me or rejects my word has one that judges him. And so the idea of commitment involves a commitment that we completely have to the word of Jesus Christ, but also to the world of Christ. And what I mean by the world of Christ is the realm of Christ, or the sphere in which he lives. When Jesus stood in trial before Pilate, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. That the world of Jesus is not a materialistic world. It is not an earthly world. It is not a physical world. But it is a spiritual world. It is a spiritual realm. His world is unlike this world. This world is carnal. And his world is holy. This world is temporal. And his world is spiritual. This world is temporary. And his world is eternal. Are we committed totally to the world of Christ? Or how about the work of Christ? In John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no man can work. And what were the works of Jesus? Oh, we see Jesus going about doing good. We see Jesus feeding the 5,000 and healing the sick. We see Jesus interacting with people, making a difference in the lives of people. But what was his real work? What was the underlying purpose and God's plan of Jesus coming to this earth? Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, that he came to seek and to save the lost. Matthew records him saying that those that are whole don't need a physician, but those that are sick. And Jesus came to minister to those that were spiritually sick and sin. The mission of Christ and the work of Christ revolved around the souls of men, women, and boys and girls, that he might redeem us. And as Justin so eloquently at the eulogy this morning talked about the blood that was shed and how that blood not only makes a new covenant with God, but that blood indeed redeems and ransoms us and it cleanses us and it brings us back in right relationship with God. And so therefore, because of that blood, as he pointed out, that we can walk in the light of Jesus Christ because of the work that he did. Are we committed to that work, the spiritual work of Christ? Or how about the witness of Christ? Now, I use the word witness in an accommodative way because none of us are literally witnesses of Christ. But we witness in the sense of telling people about Christ. I mean of sharing Christ, of sharing who He is, His deity, His sonship, His lordship, His message. He commissioned the apostles in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we totally committed to talking to people about Christ? Of sharing the good news, of sharing the message, of letting other people know what it means to be a Christian. And so if we're going to get outside ourselves and live beyond ourselves and be able to multiply our ministry and to grow the church at Hickman Mills, we must, number one, be totally committed to Christ. But then number two, we must develop a loving loyalty to one another. Alan Smith tells the story of an army chaplain that was sitting in an officer's club one rainy day. In fact, he said it was more than raining. It was a storm, and the winds were blowing fiercely, and the rain was just coming down in sheets. And this chaplain overheard the wives of two officers sitting at another table, and they were looking out the big picture window. And suddenly there was a flash of lightning, and in the flash of lightning they saw a soldier standing guard duty out in the middle of this raging storm. And one of the women turned to the other and she said, "Oh dear, look at that poor soldier out in that terrible storm." And the other woman responded to her in a rather caustic and descending way. She said, "Oh, it didn't make any difference. He's only a private." Justin, I don't know if you ever encountered any of "he's only a private" attitude in the army or not. But what an attitude to have. He's only a private. Some people look at other people in this world and say, "He's only this. He's only a student," or "she's only a housewife," or "he's only a janitor," or "she's only a clerk." But in the body of Christ, there should not be that "he's only" or "she's only" kind of attitude. It is an attitude that views oneself as superior and others as less important and less valuable. Christ has called us not just to believe, but to belong and to be a part of one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 and 5, Paul said, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and each of the members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we who form one body, and each members belong to all the others." And so he uses the analogy of the physical body. You have many members, but it's one body. He said that's true in the spiritual body of Christ, that you have many members, but the members belong to one another to comprise the entire body. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And a very familiar text here is the Apostle Paul talks about the unity of the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4, after having made a plea for unity, and he sets forth the platform for unity in the seven ones, he talks about the provisions that are given. And he says in verse 11, that he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying the body of Christ. And then he talks about how that we can find a perfection or a completeness of that unity. Under the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, under the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried out of the wind of darkness by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful mind, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together with whichever joint supplies, according to the effective working by whichever part does it share, and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When I look at that passage, I see some specific things that will help us develop a loving loyalty to one another, that will help us live beyond ourselves, that will help us multiply
Sometimes people call me the pastor. I'm actually not a pastor. It is a word that is reserved for the shepherds, the elders, the bishops, that need certain qualities and qualifications. And we find in the book of Acts, again, we're appointed to this office that we're spiritually mature men. We have here three men that serve as pastors or elders. We need to be loyal to their leadership. I've been blessed in the 2+ years I've been part of the church family now to sit in monthly meetings with these men. And I'm going to tell you something that I hope is apparent. It should be apparent to everybody here. But in case it's eluded somebody, these men love the Lord. These men love you. And I can honestly say that I've never been a part of a church family where I've seen men any more committed to trying to do what is right by the people that's a part of a church family. They care about you. They're interested in you. They're interested in your life, in your spiritual welfare, in your spiritual growth. They're interested in things that this church family can do to accentuate the growth and multiply ministry and grow the church. They're interested in fellowship and a camaraderie and loyalty that we have to each other. I never said to me, but I can recall where it was about them. You know, unfortunately, I've been in some churches where elders kind of came across like, we need the elders and you better be listening. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we need to be careful. If that kind of atmosphere is developed. These are humble men that love the Lord. They're God's men. They're good men. And they love you. And because of the hierarchy, if you please, or organizations we often call it in the church, God calls us to be in subjection to our spiritual leaders. I don't use another word, I just call it love. Let's be loyal to the men that are leading us and watching for our souls. How about our fellowship? Our fellowship of believers here at Hickman. We have a fellowship. The word fellowship is a joint participation, it's a sharing in common. And we share in common our body in Christ. We share in common our salvation. We share in common our desire to get from earth to heaven. We share so much in common as we've all been born again with the blood of Jesus and as we seek to walk in the light. And so let's be loyal to that fellowship. Certainly the fellowship as we meet here. I was so encouraged last week, and I don't know what the number, probably since I put the bulletin and sent it over. But we had 88% of the people here at 9 o'clock here at 11 o'clock. I just think that's phenomenal. And I don't care about 100% because someone's traveling and missing, or someone gets sick, or someone's got to go to a job, or someone's got to catch an airplane to Bangladesh, or who knows where people go today. But something is going on. But that speaks well. And I hope we can keep it in mind there. That's a loyalty to our fellowship. Not whether I'm speaking louder, Justin's speaking louder, we've got to get speaker. That if we come to serve God and worship God and encourage one another in this fellowship. And then we get together outside this building, whether it's at potlucks or at the park or an ice cream social or some other kind of event. What a wonderful thing it is to be a part of fellowship. I want to tell you why. If you feel left out, maybe you're not as involved in both of us as you want to be. Plug in the fellowship. And our unity. We need a loyalty to our unity, our oneness of working together. Paul said, feel divisions among you, but in perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same gesture. Loyalty to the Lord involves a loyalty to one another and a loyalty to our oneness. And Ephesians 4, if you haven't read it, well, read the whole chapter. It's all about loyalty to unity, of oneness, of being together, of the sameness of mind and spirit as we join hands and hearts together and walk with the Lord. Or how about to our purity? As you go on down in Ephesians 4, he talks about the purity and the holiness of the Christian walk. And not the former life that we once lived when we were in the world, but a life that we now live in Christ. There needs to be a loyalty to the purity of our fellowship of believers, to our church family, a loyalty to one another that I don't want to live in such a way to embarrass you. Or someone said, that guy's a member over there, y'all hear the way he talks. our mission of outreach, our mission of edifying and building up the body of Christ, a loyalty to that mission, and a loyalty to our collective growth, that we want to grow the church. And so none of us would ever purposely do anything that would undermine that growth, or would hinder or hamper that growth, or retard that growth in some way. But if we want to add value to the church family so the church can grow, that's a loyalty that we have to one another. And then number three, I suggest that for us to live beyond ourselves and multiply ministry and grow the church, we need to exercise a denial of selfish ambition. And really, isn't that what it is all about? In order for us to accomplish the first two points, we must begin actually with the third point. Because until we're willing to exercise a denial of self, none of self and all of thee, then we're going to find it difficult to be committed as we ought and to be loyal as we should. C.R. Gibson in Wellsprings of Wisdom tells a story about an ambitious farmer. His name was Ralph Woods. And Ralph was unhappy about the yield of his crops. And he heard about a new seed corn that promised great results. And so Ralph tried this out. And sure enough, he produced a crop that was phenomenal. It was so abundant that it astonished his neighbors. And his neighbors asked about getting the same new seed. But Ralph refused, because he thought he might lose a competitive advantage over his neighbors. And so he wouldn't tell anybody what seed he was using. Well, the second year Ralph planted this seed, it didn't produce quite as good a crop. And the third year, it was worse yet. And then it dawned upon Ralph that his prize corn was being polluted by the inferior grade of corn from his neighbor's fields. That happens in cross-pollination sometimes in agriculture. And the irony of this story is, and the point that is made, is that Ralph Wood's selfishness had done him in. And a cruel twist of irony, Ralph literally did reap what he sowed. And not just corn, but he sowed a selfishness that wouldn't share with his neighbors. And after a while, it impacted him as well. Spiritually speaking, we do reap what we sow, and we need to exercise a denial of selfish ambition. Paul put it this way. He said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." And that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. As I was preparing these thoughts this morning, I thought about our theme the last couple of years. That last year, restoring our focus, and this year, becoming one for us. And when you think about those two things, aren't those themes about commitment to Christ? Aren't they about loyalty? And don't they call upon us to deny ourselves, that we might be focused on the right things, and that we might become what God would have us to become? As we're kind of past the midpoint of the year, and pretty soon people go back to school and all things begin to happen, and we get into the holidays, and we come toward the end of the year. Just want to remind us what it's all about. And for this church to continue to multiply ministry, for us to continue to grow as God would have it to grow, we need to be totally committed. We need to be loyal to each other. And we need to deny ourselves. May God bless us today. As we close this morning, we sing a song of invitation and encouragement. And we call you to commit. We call you, would you be committed to Christ? To His Word, to His Word, to His mission, to His plan of salvation, to believe on it with all your heart, repent of sins, confess allegiance to Him, and be immersed in water for the